When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Comforting classics.
Fresh new content.
Something old.
Something new.
Join Emma and Lucy each month for a new podcast from Fan Critical.
Hello, and welcome to the first Something Old, Something New episode of 2022.
Woohoo! New year, new me.
Exciting times. New year, new us, new ladies. We've also got a cat in the background here, I'm afraid to say. She will not leave my side. So please welcome May to the Fan Critical crew.
Hello, May.
And that other beautiful voice there is Lucy.
Hello, May. Yes.
Hello, May.
I'm back and I'm old.
We're back, we're old, we're tired. It's January. So if you haven't listened to Something Old, Something New before, the premise is very simple. Lucy and I get together about once a month and we talk about something old that we've watched, usually an old favourite or something we're rewatching for various reasons, and something new that we've watched, what we think about it and whether we recommend it to each other and to you, our delightful listeners. So as we come into January, the first question I'm going to ask Lucy, and I don't know if this is a thing in the US or any other parts of the world, are you doing dry January, Lucy?
My birthday is the 4th of January, so no, I have never done it. I will never do it. Even when I was pregnant, I didn't do it. I still had a drink on my birthday. So to answer your question, no. Are you doing it?
Yes. So for those of you who don't know, dry January is when you get to the new year and you think, how can I make January more depressing?
Why?
By not drinking for 31
it's
days.
It's a long month as well. I always,
yeah.
If I'm going to give anything up, do it in February. February's here and it's gone. Like, that's the time to do it.
I've made a fatal mistake, to be honest, because it's only halfway through the month and I already wish I could have had a drink probably at least 75% of the days. But it does mean that my desire to exercise is higher.
That's good.
Because how else do you fill time?
And you're not hungover.
No. And also what that means is I'm watching a lot more movies and television.
Because you're not having fun. Because you can just watch more TV.
I'm not having any fun.
So good.
So I'm watching more telly. But what that means for you, lovely listeners, is that there's a great chat to come about what we've been watching of late. Lucy, I'm going to start with you today.
Okay.
Can you please tell me something old that you've brought to the podcast this evening?
I'd love to. My something old is not old, but it's old to me in that I have seen it probably 3 times now. So over Christmas, it was very quiet Christmas, actually. I thought that we were going to get more lockdown restrictions, so I didn't plan anything, and then we didn't. So I didn't have anything planned.
Oh, no.
So that I did kind of, I just ate and drank and watched stuff, which is fine. So what has now become a bit of a tradition, because I just think it's the most cozy, lovely Sunday film. And I think every day in between, like the interlull between Christmas and New Year, is kind of like a nice Sunday. Like when you don't have to work and you just chilled out.
Yeah.
And it is.
It's all Sundays.
Yeah, every day is Sunday, but in a good way, because Monday doesn't come. The film is the 2019 adaptation of Louisa May Alcott's Little Women, which me and Emma, in the same interlull it came out, I think it was like around the 27th of December, was it? 28th, 29th?
Yeah.
We went and saw it in the cinema and loved it.
We did.
And I continue to love it. And it's now going to be a tradition that I watch it, because I think last year I watched it in that period and I was on my own. I had a bit of time to myself. Aaron wasn't in. Aubrey was with my mom. I cleaned the house, then I watched Little Women under a blanket drinking a snowball, and it was bloody fantastic. That was the best Christmas
Luce,
gift.
That is absolute genius. And that film, we had a lovely time.
We had a lovely time.
Tiny little cinema. We took snacks.
It was you baked cookies. Yep. It was
quiet. I bought biscuits.
London was dead, but still Christmassy. Oh, I have very fond memories of the film and that event. So I just love it still.
So for anyone who hasn't seen Little Women, Lucy, can you tell us a bit about the film or the new adaptation and the cast? Because I think that was what drew us in, wasn't it?
Definitely. So it's directed by Greta Gerwig. It's a good adaptation. Now, I actually recently, don't know what you're like at home or you, Emma, I struggle getting to sleep. So we listen to audiobooks. And have you ever listened to the podcast Criminal?
I love Criminal.
I'm Phoebe Judge. It's Criminal.
She has
the nicest voice. And this.
It's Criminal.
And sort of the year before now, I guess, when I had a newborn, we listened to Phoebe Reads a Mystery, which is another one of her non-criminal podcasts.
I loved it.
Yes. So she did so many, but she's gone on to Not Mysteries, and she does Little Women. She reads it.
Oh, has
so
she
we've
done...
been listening to
I
it.
I missed that.
It is because, so nice.
I don't think I've read it. I don't really listen to audiobooks. I listen to podcasts at night, which is probably why I have terrible dreams, because I listen to podcasts about murder. That sounds like a delightful
It's so like
listen,
her voice is lovely, and the book is very cozy, comforting, nostalgic. I'm not sure if I've read the book, but I feel like I have now from listening to it. But my point in bringing that up was that Greta Gerwig's adaptation plays with the chronology of the story, which is really effective. And it's not something that you normally see in these adaptations, and didn't necessarily have to be done, but I do think it really adds something when you see, for example, Amy in Paris, and then you see previously Joe wanting to go to Paris with Aunt Marge, and you kind of think, how's that happened? Or you see her friendship with Laurie and Timothy Chalamet.
He's so good.
I just love him.
So good.
I can see why the gays and the girls all love him, because he's just on screen. He's very, he has a real charming presence, but an intensity. And I just think, why did Joe turn him down?
Joe, why?
And then she's like,
why, Joe?
When she says that she wonders if he will ask her again, and she thinks she'll say yes. I'm like, oh, this is really tragic, but it's just great. And talking about the cast, you've got Saoirse Ronan. Have I said that right?
Saoirse, like inertia. I heard her say that once on.
Okay. Saoirse, apologies.
Graham Norton.
Florence Pugh, my girl, absolutely adore her. Emma Watson, who cannot stand up to them two. She is just not a good actress. She looks nice, which is good for me.
It's a shame, isn't it? Because she is really wooden.
Her accent and actually goes midway through the film. She just gives up trying to do like a Massachusetts sort of turn of the century accent.
Yeah.
She's not a good actress.
Poor Emma Watson.
And she's also...
She's more interested in the environment and gender rights.
Well, good. Stick to that, because she just... On her, I mean, even I think her husband's, what's his name? The actor.
Is she married?
No, in the film, sorry, Meg's husband.
Oh.
James Norton. He's another English actor. Even her scenes of him, I'm like, you can't stand up to these people. And like, yeah, you've got Saoirse Ronan and Florence Pugh like tearing up the screen. Your mum's Laura Dern. Like, you can't stand up to it.
And Laura Dern. Right?
Her. She's so good as Marmy. Oh, I love it.
The whole cast, actually, of Little Women are, apart from Emma Watson, and I'm sorry, Emma Watson, if you listen
she's
to
She's fine
her,
because she's just pretty and here, and that she is pretty, so that works.
Well, yeah,
she's
she
just
is.
Nowhere near
but
as
the
good.
Whole cast, it's a cast of really adaptable, changeable actors. So you think about Timothy Chalamet, right? So we've seen him at the cinema together in
we
Little
We love
Women.
Him.
Call Me By Your
Saw
Name.
That as well.
Very different film. I've just seen him in Dune. Totally different film. I watched him in The King with now I can't remember the other guy's name. With some dude,
cool.
Which is on Netflix. Very good, worth a watch. And then you think so, Laura Dern. I mean, do you remember her in Marriage Story? Like, I mean, she's been so many different things. So she's so good.
Did you ever watch Big Little Lies?
No, I
you
never
definitely
did.
Definitely should, and she is fantastic in that. She really adds a depth to the character, because in the book, she is very like angelic, perfect mum, because that's how they all see her. And in this, there's a bit more grit to her without losing her patience. And I know, obviously, if you've seen Friends, I know, Emma, you haven't, you know, spoiler warning now.
Well, I mean, I have. Spoiler warning. You can't escape Friends.
Now for Little Women. When Beth dies, oh my God. I was crying for ages. Even when I rewatched it, I was like, the way they do it is just so moving. And you really care about these girls. And I just, the setting, the scenery, the outfits, everything is perfect. I love it.
Yeah, totally. And it's, and then even you think about Florence Pugh. She's so good.
Because Amy is an absolute dick. And like, canonically in the book.
But you still love everybody her. Everybody hates Amy. Because of the way Florence plays it.
But she like really so brings good. Her out into an actual three-dimensional character, not just the youngest one who's a bit of a dick and is spoiled. Like,
I mean, she still is a bit.
She is. And some of the stuff she does, you're like, oh God. But yeah, somehow I'm like, I still like you. Like, well done.
Also, when you think about like the versatility, that's the word I was looking for earlier, of the cast in this, right? So Florence Pugh, I've just been watching in Black Widow last year, and then in Hawkeye. Spoiler.
Does she pop up? Oh God, I haven't even seen Black Widow yet. I am behind.
Oh, Black Widow is, look, okay, it's not the best Marvel film ever, but it's fun. I thought it was fun, and she is excellent in it. She is hilarious.
Right, I'm going to watch that.
Deadpan funny.
Tomorrow night.
Just
because Aaron is
just
out.
For Florence Pugh.
Yeah, obviously.
Genuinely, like, just for that, she's the best part of Black Widow. I've got to say, she totally is. Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking, can you imagine if we brought this up on a podcast with the lads?
I reckon like Len would have watched it and would have loved it and would like love the art direction. I think Megan may have made Gaz watch it and he would have enjoyed it. I don't know if John would go near it, but maybe he would.
I don't think he would. Maybe we'll ask him.
It's so good.
We'll see.
Though.
If they ever listen to our podcast, they can tell us.
Oh yeah. This is the test.
We all listen to all each other's podcasts.
Yeah,
all the
definitely.
Time. Oh, I might do that. So Joe is on nights tonight and tomorrow. So maybe tomorrow night, my Friday night film will be Little
Women. Yeah, it's honestly, I felt so happy at the end. I was like, although it's obviously there's sadness in it, I just felt like, yeah, this is the most wholesome and nourishing, comforting film. And I'm going to watch it every Christmas because it's gorgeous. And it does have a bit of a Christmas in it. Is it a Christmas film? I don't know, but... Christmas features.
I think there's a Christmas tree in it.
There is. They have a Christmas and they take all their Christmas breakfast to the poor people, the poor family in the woods. And they don't want to.
Yeah,
they're like,
they
no.
Sick.
Yeah, that all bad. Yeah, it's really sad. But it's just fantastic.
I'm sad again.
I know. It really did affect me. And I don't even have sisters, but I was like, this is just really upsetting the way they've done it. Saoirse's performance. It's just, absolutely fantastic.
Oh, she is absolutely unreal in that film. Like, the talent in that girl is insane. I call her a girl. I mean, she's probably about our age.
No, she ain't my age. She's a young person. She's young.
We're not that far off each other, Luz. Maybe she is a bit younger than us, but she's like, she's not a girl anymore. She has got talent in buckets.
Yeah, and always has. And always has. Like from Atonement when she was like 13. It's always been there. And I'm glad that she's kind of made it because she's really... really, like, very interesting to look at and very memorable. And I just think I rate her very highly. So that film is just great. I just love it. I would watch it again, on Sunday if I was given the chance. I just think it's
lovely.
Well, I mean,
you can do what you like, Lucy. If you want to watch it again on Sunday, you can. Yeah. When do we ever have time to get all these things? And how we do this, I don't know. Thank you, Lucy.
That's all right. That's delightful. It's not old. As in time-wise, but I have seen it several times, so it's like old to me. Yeah, I love it.
A classic now.
It is a classic.
A tradition.
Yes, 100%.
So next year this year for Christmas movie special, as is tradition, we'll both have to watch Little Women again.
Definitely. Sign me right up.
I am in. I'm going to go with my something new next, Lucy.
Okay. Tradition.
As is tradition. Is that the way we always go?
Something old, something new, kind of. I think we don't always do it, but it would be better if we did because it just works with the title.
If only we were prepared and organised, Lucy, that would be great.
Very prepared, thank you.
Super prepared, got notes.
Here, aren't I? I'm here.
So, I don't know if you've seen this because we don't compare older news before we
podcast
because we love the surprise. So I recently watched Harlan Coben's Stay Close.
When I was getting my nails done, they mentioned this show. I'd never heard of it. Right. They recommended it.
So there's been a couple of adaptations on Netflix. So we had The Stranger.
That was batshit crazy.
But I loved it.
It was fun, but it was that was just before lockdown, wasn't it? That was in the build-up.
And then he had Safe with Michael C. Hall and then a load of like really random people that you'd recognise from loads of stuff. Anyway, so this particular adaptation is... So it stars James Nesbitt,
okay,
who I really rate in like a thriller drama. This series, I think it's 8 episodes. It has twists, it has turns, it has surprises. It has one very incongruous musical number.
What?
I thought I was on acid. It is genius. I did not see it coming until I think the last episode, maybe about 20 minutes before the twist, right? And so I've never read any Harlan Coben, but I think I should because I love every adaptation that has ever.
You've never
come
read
out
any? I think even I've read
no.
some.
No. Oh, maybe I have. I've never read any of these. I highly, highly recommend it. The quality of the filming, the cast, like wardrobe, you'd be surprised. My absolute favourite random star of this show is Eddie Izzard.
Wow.
So James Nesbitt, Eddie Izzard, Sarah Lancashire.
Oh, she's great. Say no more.
I mean,
she's bloody
brilliant.
Can't
fault her, can you?
Nope.
And Kush Jumbo,
who's been
in a few things.
Very good.
I really rate her. I think she's really good. So the premise is like a guy goes missing on the anniversary of when some other bloke went missing 17 years ago. And James Nesbitt's like, there must be a connection.
How would you even know that?
Because he's obsessed with the case, obviously. He's a policeman.
Okay, fair. That makes a bit more sense.
I should have prefaced that, shouldn't I? He's a policeman and he is obsessed with this case and now he's convinced that there is a link. And then as you go through the series, lots of other very strange things happen. And I actually don't want to give anything away because I want you to watch it. I think you'd really enjoy it. But it's because of COVID, we haven't really had a lot of new telly.
Not as much as we probably should have.
No. So it was nice to see something like that wasn't a three-parter or a movie that was a bit shit. I'm not going to name drop anything, Eternals.
Ooh, is it not good? Actually, the reviews weren't very good, but I'm just completely out of the Marvel loop. I haven't seen one probably since.
I'd prioritise Black Widow.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that tomorrow.
Are we? At first 40 minutes, quite shit. It got better.
Okay.
When you let go of it being shit. Gemma Chan, awesome.
Okay.
But yeah, so I highly recommend Stay Close. I think it's really slick. It's a bit different. It's got a great twist to it. The cast it's kind of that cast where you look at people and you go, oh, I remember you from something. Mm. Is it Heartbeat from the 90s? Or could it be an episode of CSI Las Vegas? I don't know. It's really interesting. And I think James Nesbitt has had a bit of a comeback. So if listeners, if you don't know who James Nesbitt is, in the 90s, there was a British sitcom called Cold Feet.
That's it had Emily from Friends in it.
Oh, there you go. It had Emily from Friends in it.
That's what you might know it from. Friends again.
All young people who don't know who James Nesbitt is. He also, I'm pretty sure he did a couple of crime series with...
he was in...
What's his name?
Was it him? Oh, it was so good. The Missing. Did you watch that?
Yeah, with Ken Stott. That's
Jesus,
the one I'm thinking of.
That was
so
fucking
good.
Harrowing.
And they did 2 seasons of that.
I didn't watch the other one.
Oh, he's excellent because the first one had Ken Stott, who used to play Rebus but is also in Lord of the Rings.
No, he's not. He's in The Hobbit.
That's what I meant. Oh god.
I'm like, excuse me. It's not Lord
Fuck
of the Rings.
Me.
Get it right.
Lord of the Ringsies. The Hobbitsies. Yeah, sorry, The Hobbit. How embarrassing.
I don't think I needed to be quite so. He's not in that. I could have just corrected
he's
you.
He's not in
or
that
just let
one.
It go. But it's Lord of the Rings.
But yeah, so I haven't... He seems to be making a bit of a name for himself in gritty thrillers, James Nesbitt. And actually, do you know what? He's very good. The thing about this new series is that it's got a bit of levity to it as well. So it's not all doom and gloom and dead people. I mean, the twist at the end...
Well, now I know there's a twist.
Grim. Obviously, there's a twist.
Well, is it obvious? I mean, my nail technician sold it to me by saying the episodes are only about 40 minutes long. Is that correct?
Oh, and that, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
that as well.
The thing is, with us at the moment, I think I mentioned this a few episodes ago, quite a while ago, maybe. We are watching The Wire, so we're now on season 3. So that's all engulfing, like. Maybe at the weekend we could watch something different, but really our weeknights are taken up with watching The Wire.
Yeah, but you could probably only watch two or three parts, couldn't you? Because you can't watch 8 episodes while you're in the middle of The Wire.
No, not really.
That's just too distracting.
We did have a break over Christmas and we watched some Christmas stuff, whatever was on. But yeah, that's why these new series, we haven't really. We did have a break. And what did we watch? Oh, I can't even remember. So maybe once we finish season 3, we'll have another like palate cleanser and watch this mad thing. Is it as mad as The Stranger? Because I thought that was a bit stupid.
No, it's not. It makes much more sense.
Okay, yeah, because that actually made no sense.
It's much more... There was just... So I'll put it this way. I think it's like episode 3 or episode 4. You've been introduced in the episode prior to that to two characters who are very interesting. And there are, you know, moments of levity, but mostly it's just really grim. And I love that.
Yeah, I'm when we get onto my something new, I know that's your something new. I don't know if you want to do your something old or shall I just buck the trend and do my something new?
Do your something new, Lucy. Okay. No one needs to listen to me for any longer than 10 minutes at a time.
No, I mean, I just mean it because you were saying grim and I, you know, The Wire can be pretty grim. So when I'm not watching The Wire, I've started watching something that's the opposite, that is just light and dumb and fun and looks good and is just easy to watch, and that is Emily in Paris, which everyone was watching. It got very badly slated, and I kind of think it's not high art, it's not The Wire, but I don't think it deserved to be quite as panned for being sort of offensive and culturally inappropriate and stuff like that. I think it's a bit over the top. I've actually only watched 3 episodes though, but when I say something
new,
That's it, really.
At least 90 minutes, which
it's actually
could be a film.
Well, yeah, it's like 20, they're like 25 minute episodes again. But it's Lily Collins, daughter of Phil. They do not look alike. She's very attractive.
Thank God she doesn't look like Phil Collins.
She's very,
He's
very
a beautiful
skinny.
Voice, very talented man. Not pretty.
Good on drums. No, she doesn't look anything like him. You wouldn't ever tell that they were related. So she plays the titular Emily, who I can't even remember why, and I only started watching it a couple of days ago, goes to Paris to help out at some marketing firm with her American ideas. She doesn't speak French. I was going to say Parisian. Shut up. She doesn't speak French. They hate it, which I think is very, you know, believable. The French don't like it when you don't speak French.
And when you try, they
like it even less because they think, why are you being so shit? That's my experience.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Comment ça va?
Où est la piscine? So she goes there. She has a boyfriend that kind of ends. And there is a very hot neighbour. And a lot of the time, I mean, this show is, I believe, created by the same guy that created Sex and the City. It's not as smart and kind of controversial as that was when it first came out. But it is that kind of sense of fun and the scenery, like, oh God, Paris looks amazing. I want to book a trip. But a lot of the time...
You've been to Paris, haven't you?
Yes, loads of times. But it's always a good idea, as they say.
You can never go too many times.
No. Watching Sex and the City, I don't think there was ever a time where I thought any of the guys were attractive. I was always like, this is this guy, Samantha? This is who you want to fuck? He's rank. But... her neighbour in this show is very attractive. And he's actually French. There's a lot of actual French actors in it. Yeah. So if you want to just be brain dead for a time and just see a chirpy girl with nice hair
She has lovely hair, doesn't
very
she?
Very nice hair. You know, we've got to give her her dues. Very Snow White looking. Bowling around Paris, hot neighbour. She can't speak French. It's all very hilarious. Yeah.
Is it actually funny?
Not funny.
Have you physically laughed out loud at it? Because if you have, I might try it.
It's not like, oh, it's trying to be funny, but I'm not laughing. It's more just kind of, you know, her just misadventures in Paris and the culture clash between Americans and the French. So I wouldn't say it's like hilarious. I don't think it's meant to be a comedy, like comedy. It's just like, yeah, some funny-ish bits. But no, I couldn't say I've laughed out loud.
I have to say, I think that what we're missing in the world at the moment is just a bit of levity.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, oh, this means nothing. And I don't even know what she does. I've already forgotten, but it's fine. And apparently I read somewhere that it's been designed quite sort of sinisterly by Netflix to be a show that you can watch and miss episodes and not miss anything. So you can have it on.
It's
a background show and it's been designed to be very like easygoing and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, I mean, I think the fact they have French actors, even I'm like, oh, that's decent, because a lot of the time they'll just have people speaking like this to do an accent. But
you want to talk about cultural appropriation and casual racism, then that probably would be it.
Yes. And, you know, a lot of shows have done that. But yeah, they've actually got French actors and shot on location. It's just diverting. And there's another series, so I think I'll continue. It's one of those when I'm alone and, you know, I can't watch The Wire, I'll just watch something completely like brain dead and brain rotting and enjoy it.
I love how that's your choice. And this is a slight diversion, but my latest, I'm on my own, I want something to go a bit brain dead to, is a really terrible Netflix series called My Lover, My Killer.
What?
It's so bad, Lucy. It's almost as bad as Countdown to Murder on Channel 5, which is really awful. So maybe
Countdown
I need to...
Countdown to Murder.
Yeah, maybe I need some, you know, Parisian fashion and Americans an American girl. I'm not being overly generic, not being able to speak French in Paris. Maybe that is the joy I need in my life.
I would give it a go. And, you know, if you don't like it, it's 25 minutes of your life. It's not going to affect
it's
you
too
much.
It's not going to change anything, is it?
Not really.
I have to say, like, good on Netflix, because I bet they've made an absolute bomb.
Oh yeah.
During COVID. Yeah. Just in general. And also they're delivering us with fantastic content from the likes of Emily in Paris to a Harlan Coben adaptation. And, you know, absolute gems like My Love and My Killer. We're not sponsored by Netflix, but I wish we were.
Oh yes.
Genuinely wish we were.
One day.
And they've introduced a new category on Netflix. Films under 90 minutes. Just for you and me, Lucy, I believe. Just for you and me. Would you like to hear my something old?
I'd love it.
I think you're going to love this. So in anticipation of the release of the new and I think final series, Joe and I have been rewatching Peaky Blinders.
Ah, by order of the Peaky fucking Blinders. That is not the best accent, but it's passable.
It wasn't the worst.
It's quite Brummy, but none of them sound like that because none of them are Brummy. But right.
So if you've not ever seen Peaky Blinders,
don't let my impression put you off, because it is quite good.
Oh, it's better than the impression. I loved it, but you know, I've seen it. It is a show set in, what was it, start 1919, I think.
Post First World War, yeah.
Yeah.
Into the 20s. So
early 20s, Birmingham gangsters who go around with razor blades in their caps killing people. Now, I'm not selling this very well, am I? however, it is so amazingly styled. And it's violent and it's fun. And the soundtrack is so good. I think that's one of the things I didn't appreciate enough the first time round. Yes. So good. And you just, like, going back and watching it, because you know what's going to happen. What I really love about it is picking up on little things that you've forgotten about or you didn't notice the first time. But also the soundtrack, like all of the all of the music in it is like epic, and it's all styled slightly differently. It's a bit heavy. It's almost a bit like bassy, rocky, kind of violent on your ears type thing, but really good. And you've got such an incredible cast. Like Cillian Murphy. Never did I think I'd find him attractive.
Jesus Christ.
How hot is that man?
Too hot as Tommy Shelby. Like, how can a haircut and a flat cap make you look that good?
I've no idea.
Because he's just looked like a weird girl before. Like, obviously, yes, pretty, but weird.
But not though. Not like, you know, just odd. I only really remember him from Red Eye. I don't really remember seeing him in anything else.
He was in, like, Inception. He was in lots of Christopher Nolan stuff. He's been in a few bits, but this is his, break.
This is his, like, breakout best role ever. And yeah, who knew a flat cap and a haircut and, you know,
his face is insane.
The glint of potential violence in the eye could be quite so sexy. But also, he is an excellent actor in this. He holds that show so well. His chemistry with all of the other members of the cast is so cool. Like, and actually most of the cast aren't really very well known actors, except for
Tom Hardy. I mean, he comes into
it. Oh, yeah. Right. So for anyone who is a lover of Tom Hardy, which is everyone in the whole world, Tom Hardy appears in like season 2 or season 3 of Peaky Blinders as like a Jewish gangster.
A very Cockney Jewish gangster.
A very violent Cockney, not very Jewish gangster. And it is both hilarious and weirdly sexy.
But you know who I hate in it? And I'm like, I wish this could be scrubbed from the records. Can you guess who I'm going to say?
Maybe.
Do you want to give it a guess?
Is it? No. Go, tell me.
Adrian Brody and his terrible Corleone Italian accent. Honestly, he's terrible. That whole season is ruined by his presence.
He's so shit.
Why is he in it? Why is he doing that voice? Why is he doing that voice?
We're Italian, I'm going to kill you.
It's more like that. He's trying to be like Don Corleone. But that's actually good.
Stop complaining about the food. Heaven's God. We're going to kill them all. It's fucking awful.
I hate him.
You are right. I hate him. However.
That is terrible and very off-putting performance. Like, it's rare that a performance will take you out of a show and you're like, what the fuck is this? He's awful.
That's the season we're watching at the moment.
It's terrible.
It is really bad. I think
like Peaky Blinders is a good show, but the quality does vary a lot season to season, I think. Like that season's dross. Don't particularly like the Russian one either.
The Russian one's weird. What are the other ones?
The one with Tom Hardy. What's his name in it? Archie Cotton or something like that.
You sound like you're talking about EastEnders. Is that like Dot's long lost Cockney Jewish son?
Archie Maybe Cotton. I'm just thinking of the East End. It's Archie, though, isn't it? Alfie? You're watching it, you tell me.
I don't know. I mean, I'm currently watching Adrian Brody. Come on, eat the scum.
Come on, Tommy, you're killing me here.
What are you going to do? The guys can listen.
Not going to be nice.
What the fuck is wrong? What are they doing?
Blame Adrian Brody, because he's shite in this.
Poor, totally poor. I've got to say, though, and there is one... There is one member of the cast of Peaky Blinders, and I don't know how this show will survive without her. Oh. Helen McCrory is, without a doubt, still is, one of the best actresses ever to grace our screens.
Correct.
I saw her during the first lockdown in some National Theatre live performances. She's unreal. But in Peaky Blinders as Paul, like
so
Polly,
fucking
she,
cool.
She is unbelievably good. And I have no idea how that show will go on without her.
She was filming,
I think,
wasn't she? She was filming. So I guess they're going to just have to write her out. I don't know. It's hideous. It's awful.
It's funny. In hindsight, as the show goes on, you can see her getting sicker in the last couple of
seasons. She gets very skinny.
Yeah, and it's really... But she, I mean, she is... essentially, she's like the stereotypical matriarchal figure to an extent within the Shelby family, isn't she? And she's just really cool. Like when she... when you were introduced to Abarama Gold.
Oh, yeah. Littlefinger also popped up in The Wire. Aidan Gillen, his real name.
I was about to say Peter Dinklage. He's not in Peaky Blinders.
Not yet.
Be hilarious if he was, though.
He might turn up. Another gangster.
Who knows? That, I mean, the two of them together are unbelievably good. And I just, I really enjoy it. And I'm really looking forward to seeing it kind of close itself off.
But it's going to be awful without her because she was such a central part of it. In the show, like as a character, but just her performance, and the thought of it, her being written out, it's just gonna be awful. It's gonna be really sad.
There are only really two major deaths in the show.
Yes. Surprisingly, you know who I wish did die? Who I hate? Arthur.
Arthur's wife.
No,
Arthur's wife is the worst.
No, Arthur's the worst. Arthur. He's so violent. He's horrible. I was wishing to that he'd die. Like every episode, I'm like, is he going to die? No, I hate him.
Is he going to die in this one? Is he going
to
die in this one?
Beat that kid to death. Like, I hate you.
Yeah, that was pretty awful. I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that the actors that play Arthur and John are brothers in real life.
It's not Arthur. It's Michael and John.
Oh, is it Michael and John?
John's not in it anymore, is he? John? Not a great accent. It's John and Michael, so Polly's son, Michael.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Spoiler for everyone who's never watched Peaky Blinders. If you've not watched the show, I'm not sure that it's an accurate depiction of Birmingham in the 1920s. I hope it is.
But they were a real gang, the Peaky Blinders.
Yes, they were. It's
none of them
look
like Cillian Murphy, because I've seen pictures of them like from their mugshots.
No, I definitely don't. But it has got, I mean, it's got everything, hasn't it? It's got violence. It's got drugs. It's got booze. It's got alcohol. Got, you know, sex workers.
Post-traumatic stress.
PTSD. It's got communism.
Yeah, I love a bit of the communism. And
equal pay, women's rights.
Fascism is coming into it. Oswald Mosley.
Yeah. Oh, Mosley. And that's so clever. Like, just the whole thing. It's genius.
Churchill.
Yeah, it's got everything. Russians.
Yep. Terrible Italians. So it deals with immigration because the Chinese are in it, aren't they? There's some Chinese people.
It covers all your major topics.
Yeah.
Learn about history.
Illegitimate children. Like Polly's child coming back.
Adoption.
Yeah. Gets into it for sure.
Yeah. The railroads. Factory life.
The railroads. God, you're sort of clutching at straws now. I feel like what we were talking about was fairly like interesting, but now the canals.
Really. Yeah.
Travelers.
Interesting.
That stuff's quite interesting.
Yeah. Travellers. Well, and they are travellers.
They have like
very interesting
traveller blood, don't they? I think.
They do indeed. Shelbies. I highly recommend it. And actually, if you're looking for something to warm your winter nights,
it's not that warming, I wouldn't say, but it is good.
It's warming, and you know, it'll get your blood up with fear, probably.
Anger at some of the accents.
Anger at the terrible Italian accents. You know, maybe get your blood up with desire.
Yes.
Thomas Shelby.
I think everyone fancies him. Man, woman, child.
Yep.
He's just got
the lot.
The face.
And you've got Tom Hardy. It's genius. And actually, do you know what? I'm really enjoying rewatching it because it's one of those things where you've seen it before. You don't have to really pay attention to everything. But if you want to sit and watch 3 hours of it in a row, you can.
Mm.
Like, it's nice. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the next season. I'm very excited.
Do you know when it comes out? Can you tell us?
I mean, I can...
Can you find out?
I can try. I can try. Season 6 of Peaky Blinders comes out sometime in 2022.
Lovely and vague.
Yep.
Thanks, BBC.
So, that's all I've got.
So yeah, it's BBC, isn't it? I don't know if you can... Is it on Netflix?
I think spring. I'm going to hope for spring.
Can you watch the other seasons on Netflix?
Yep.
There you go, people. Get on there.
Watch on the Netflix or the BBC iPlayer. They don't call it the BBC iPlayer, but I do. I'm British. What else can you ask for? Yeah. So that is my, that's my something old. And it's weirdly comforting.
Yeah, I kind of. I think period dramas are always comforting. It doesn't really matter what period it is. I think maybe if it was like the Black Plague, it wouldn't be that comforting. But generally, the past seems like a nostalgic and comforting place.
And both of us have picked a period piece for our something old this week.
Yeah. They're not even that old. Interesting.
No. Well, I mean, they're set old.
Yes, but the shows themselves, shows and films, are not too, too old.
Not often that I watch something that I've watched before. So it's been quite nice.
Mm. It's good, I think, when the new season comes out. I'd like to be able to do that, but I don't always get the time. If a show that you really like is coming back with a new season. Like, you don't watch Succession, do you?
No, and I keep meaning to, Lucy.
Idiot. You need to watch it. But I wanted to rewatch the other seasons, but didn't get around to it. But it would have helped, I think.
I don't really know how I have time, to be honest.
You find it for the Shelbys.
Well, you know, if I can't go out and have a life, so, you know, dry January.
I mean,
you can. Peaky Blinders.
Just don't drink. I know that seems weird. It's like, well, that's not fun. Why would I ever do that?
Just stay home. I don't have to put jeans on then. Yeah. See, that's the thing, isn't it? That's the thing. I'm going to add a little something to the end of our podcast today, Lucy. Is there anything coming up that you are very much looking forward to? New series, new film?
Yes. There is a BBC Three sort of romantic comedy show called Lovestruck. Did you watch the first season?
Oh, no.
Oh, it was really good. It's a Kiwi, so a New Zealand comedian called Rose Matafeo. And she did a show about sort of a one-night stand she has with a movie star. It sounds a bit like Notting Hill, but it's not. That sort of ends up going on a bit. But it's really funny. It's relatable. It's quite sweet. It was on BBC Three. And yeah, the new season's coming out soon. So I'm really excited about that, actually.
I've got to say, BBC Three, do have some
I would
little,
probably say watch that rather than watching Emily in Paris. That would be my more of a recommendation because of the Britishness. It's just a bit more relatable and just, yeah, she's good vibes as well. I really like her. She's really funny.
Interesting. I'm very much looking forward to a new series that's coming out with starring Vicky McClure, who is from, oh my God, What's Wrong With Me? She is
Line
on
of
the
Duty.
Show.
I was just waiting for you to say it.
Thank
Line of Duty.
I had a complete face, but mind blank. Starring Vicky McClure from Line of Duty. It's a show called Trigger Point, which is coming out on the BBC, I think, at the end of this month. It'll be a new Sunday night drama.
Okay, always up for that.
It's a police procedural. Mm. I'm very excited.
Can she stop playing police officers for a minute, do you reckon?
Oh, she's an armed officer this time.
She could just stop that. It'd be great.
And, with a background as a soldier, I believe. Don't know anything about it, apart from the fact that she keeps posting some really cool looking screenshots and she's very excited about it on Instagram. So I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I like a Sunday night drama.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, I do recommend, if you've not seen the first season, Rick Stein's Cornwall. Second season's currently out. Very much enjoying that. Less cooking this time, though.
More just travelling.
Not more talking about when he used to run a nightclub in Cornwall.
No one cares, Rick. I mean, this is a Rick Stein household.
I love Rick.
Love Rick.
Same.
If it's on TV, I'm watching it. Rick Stein's
Massive
Great food. Weekend, Rick Stein in France, Rick Stein in India, Rick Stein through Turkey, Rick Stein going to Mexico. Just sign me up for all of it.
Wherever he is, I'm in for it.
Yeah, if Rick's
I'm down
there,
for it.
He's
I'm always
there.
Good. Yep. I stand the Stein.
I too stand the Stein. Very good.
Very good. On that delightfully, very, you know, down, young, hip with the kids note of standing the Stein, I think that is the end of the delight that is something old and something new for you, the first episode of 2022.
Yes.
We will be back soon with some more something old, something new.
More of this craziness.
In the meantime, you'll be able to listen in to the lads do 60 Minutes to Midnight. Worst of Netflix will be back. Gaz and John watching the Zero Blue films on Netflix so that you don't have to. How many times have I said that I've got that cadence down?
It's a good catchphrase.
You don't have
good tagline.
And I hope that soon we'll have a new episode of How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That?
Yes. Where did we leave that?
In 2021. Yes. It'll be back. But don't worry.
What was
we'll
the
bring
film?
It back.
I can't even remember.
No, me neither. Sits in the vaults of last year. So it'd be a mystery both to us and to you what the next episode of How the Fuck You've Not Seen That is. But if you do enjoy all of this nonsense in your ears, then please do follow us on social media. We are Fan Critical on Facebook, at Fan Critical Pod on Twitter, and at @Fan_Critical on Instagram. If you want to get in touch with us, you can message us there, or you can send us an email, fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you very much, Lucy, for bringing me Little Women and Emily in Paris.
I'm just here for the women this week, unlike me.
With the ladies.
I'm here.
And my very violent two choices, which is yes. Very akin to just who I am as a person, from Peaky Blinders and a thriller of James Nesbitt. We have been Emma and Lucy doing Something Old, Something New, and we will see you soon. Thank you for listening.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.